Good evening and welcome to tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live from Cornerstone Church in Wheeler, Texas, along the Kingdom Keys network of stations. God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move in many mighty ways. God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move today. Beginning in 1986, this program has been an outreach to the community with compelling Christian talk, Bible study, guests, and callers. And in the last days, we are here to remind you that God is on the move in your life and in your local community.
Anytime the gospel stirs a searching soul, and someone says, send me, here I go. I know.
Your host for the program is Natalie Thomas. Join us now for tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live.
Good evening. Thank you for tuning in to another Sunday Night Live. It's good to be back for another episode. You know, this week I was thinking about how when I started Sunday Night Live, it's been actually 1 year this week that I started co-hosting with Mark Meek. I know it's been a different show since he's been gone. I'm hoping that we can continue being a blessing to those that are hearing it. You know, the Bible says that we need to edify by the words that we say, so the people that hear what we say, that they may be edified. And so that's what my prayer is, that as you listen to these radio episodes, that you are strengthened through that, and that you are edified in your walk with Christ. You know, we all need to have that encouragement. We all need that strength. We all need that community out there of people to help spur us on. I was actually went to the nursing home this week with a friend of mine to minister, and we sang a few songs, and we read a scripture and just did a short devotion and just kind of shared a little bit about, you know, what that meant to us. And as we were leaving, one of the workers that were there came up to us and thanked us for coming because she needed that word also and an encouragement. And so, you know, that all goes back to no matter where you're at and no matter what you're doing, you try to leave a print of God's love on other people's life. You know, and actually that's also what our Wednesday night message was about this week. We had Pastor Sonia Mercer preached at Cornerstone Church, and she was teaching about how we need to leave our print, our God print, on other people and walking a life of integrity as we try to live as Christians, which is Christ-like. And I was just thinking about that and how are different ways that we can leave our print, and that is just the way we respond to people, the way we treat people, the way we talk to people. That is how people can receive that. You don't have to tell them that you're a Christian. They're going to know by the way you act, and they're going to know by the way you respond to them and the way you treat them. And so I just wanted to encourage you with that. I hope that this radio station can be an encouragement to you. And if there's anything that you may have questions about or anything that you would like to hear on the radio, please reach out to us on our website. It's sundaynightlive.org, and my email is on there. Email me. I would love to hear from you guys. Several months ago, we had Mondo Lujan on the radio, and we were talking about Men of the Mountain. And they were preparing and letting people know that they were going to take some men and just let people know that that is an opportunity. And that was one thing I really liked about Mondo, is he talked about his testimony when he went to Men on the Mountain, that he received Christ, and he actually had a major encounter with God where he received a healing in his rib. You can actually go back and listen to that episode on our website. But what I wanted to tell you is I have a special treat tonight, that as a result of the Men on the Mountain retreat, the men that went have been highly impacted by God, and the Spirit of God moved in that mountain and in that place and in those men. And I know we had several men come back from our community in the Wheeler area, Wheeler County area, that were affected by this meeting where they went off to the mountain. And so we are going to let you guys listen to that tonight and listen to these testimonies, and we hope that this is an encouragement to you.
Man, we're here this morning. Most of the guys that went to the mountain a couple weeks ago, they felt led to tell a part of their testimony, and they felt led to do it this morning. So we're going to do that. But I just also want to add, before we get started with the testimonies, is that, you know, we had a wonderful time on the mountain, and we was glorified, and God was glorified, and he taught us a lot, and he helped us find places in our heart that was, didn't realize what was there. You know, some guys were, sometimes some of the guys, you know, we had four guys baptized up there. I mean, it was pretty incredible. Actually, out of the 300 men that went, 300 men, four guys out of our church only got baptized up there, and they invited everybody to do it. Our guys stepped up and said, you know what, we're going to put a stake in the ground, and we're just going to leave it here on the mountain. But keep in mind, so we do this stuff on a mountain. We get on this mountaintop, either it's in Red River or wherever it is. We get on this mountaintop, and we're on fire for Christ, and we're just, you know, just want to, you know, witness to the world. So we come off the mountain on fire, and we come down to the valley. Let me tell you that the same devil that's attacking us here, he's up on a mountain too. He's everywhere. So we don't need to be terrified or fearful or that he's going to mess things up down here, because he was up there too. The only thing is that we had 300 guys that was grouped up together, arms locked and ready to fight, and sword a swinging, and we need to do that here. So I'm not going to bore you too much on that. We're gonna have Andrew come up. It was a blessing to see Aaron grow up there, and just to watch what God did in his life, and it's and what he's doing now. Aaron.
Andrew.
Oh. Yeah.
So getting ready for this, I was making notes, and I had everything perfect, and I knew exactly what I was going to say. Just the right way of how to say everything I was going to say. I lost my notes on the, I left them at work. So here we are. But I think that's important too. God doesn't want us to be perfect when we come up here and present our stories, present our testimonies to everyone. He just wants us to be who we are, because that's going to have the impact that people are actually going to be able to remember and see the change in your life. One of the biggest things that I've struggled with, and I didn't realize I was struggling with it for a long time, and while we're up on the mountain, it revealed itself to me. I didn't value myself. I didn't value who I was. I didn't value my own capabilities to do things. And a lot of that has to do with, I never knew my mother when I was born, and my dad was in and out of my life, and so were my grandparents a little bit. So I never thought I was good enough. And when we went up to the mountain, it took me going away from here for a little bit to see that. We would go to the services in the morning, and we'd have about 5 hours during the day, and then we'd have services at night. But the biggest thing for me was we would go back to the room. As a group of men that we took up there, that we'd go back to the room and we'd sit around and just discuss everything that was going on in our lives, like in depth, and break barriers down to see what the real issue of everything was. And one night we were sitting in that room, and Dustin and Mondo came up, and I didn't realize this. My dad passed away a couple months ago, and I was so focused on trying to get over my addiction. I've struggled with addiction for about 5 years. And I was so focused on trying to get over my addiction that I never took time to mourn the process of losing my dad to the one person I thought would never leave. He's no longer here anymore. And I just got so caught up in everyday life that I never took the time for me, because I didn't think I deserved to take the time for me to heal what was wrong with me. being on the mountain, it's a remarkable experience. You don't have to worry about everyday life here and the struggles of everyday life. You get to see what's important. And I'm starting to recognize that I'm worthy of the love of God and worthy of His praise. And so is everyone else here. And I may have struggled with drugs for 5 years, and I may have done a bunch of things that I didn't want to do, but addiction was not my issue. It was that I didn't value myself enough to do what was good for me. I would always mask that with isolation and using drugs and never think I was worthy enough. And that has to do with, as I was preparing my speech this week, I didn't think I was good enough. I didn't think that I was good enough to be used for God's purpose and for God's kingdom. So I wanted to get everything just right and just perfect and have it all together. But if we wait till it's all together, we'll miss out on the things that are important. We'll miss out on getting to see the time with my dad, because I could have spent time with my dad before he passed. But I was so focused on getting sober and trying to get just right and trying to get everything all together before I was able to present myself. I guess what I'm trying to get at is, Jesus, we're here to come as we are boldly to the throne of God, and we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Well, I can, but together as a brotherhood, we can pull that out of each other, pull down our weaknesses, and say, I know you're struggling here, I know you're having difficulties, but I'm here for you. We can lean on each other, lean on the brotherhood, and we can become better by that. One of the things that spoke to me at the services, I had this thought, and it was, I haven't brought you this far to only bring you this far. God doesn't just only bring us out of our struggles and out of our difficulties. He does that so He can use us for His purpose and His kingdom, and so others can go further as well. And it's just amazing to be a part of a community to come back to. It's welcoming and open arms, and I can see God's presence just falling on this community, and things are opening up, and God is moving here. And my hope is that you won't wait until it's too late to be a part of it, because it's happening now. It's happening now. And going to the mountains and men in the mountains and finding a brotherhood and finding a family and finding some people that you can lean on, godly people that you can lean on, that will guide you and direct you in the right way, because a lot of them have been through issues too, and they have experience and they have knowledge. So turn to your brothers in Christ, and it's going to be amazing what God opens up in this community. It's going to be amazing what God does.
Thanks, Andrew.
So that, I don't know if, I'm just going to go ahead and say, you're good. So he was prophesied twice that he's going to be a pastor. We're talking about Andrew. So he was prophesied twice, two different times. Someday it's going to be Pastor Andrew. It is now, but you officially, you know, the main name tag and all that business, all that churchy stuff. You know what I'm talking about? Okay. Okay. Love you, Andrew. Dal, my man.
And a fitting
bird. How about that?
Mate.
I was exaggerating, dude.
Yeah, you better be.
Hello. You know, when the men of the mountain come up, you know, to go and stuff, and I got blessed to go to this deal. And it was kind of a crazy deal at the beginning. When I got blessed, you know, I was excited to go, to learn something, get away. Because, I mean, unfortunately, I don't go many places. I'm here working all the time. So the week before we leave, I get a call, my uncle passes away. So now I'm stressed out. You know, what do I need to do? Do I need to cancel the Men on the Mountain? Do I need to go to the funeral? So anyway, I talked to my older brother, which lives over there with same town my uncle. And he told me, he said, Gene, which is my uncle, would be upset if I did not go to Men of the Mountain. And I was like, Are you sure? He said, I'm 110% sure. You need to go, because God was number one to my uncle. That was his number one thing every day of his life, was to live for God and glorify him. So then in my sense, I was like, well, there went all the stress. We're going to go. We're going to go to the men of the mountain and see where God, you know, see how God moves in it. So we get up there. I mean, it's absolutely beautiful, you know, and just get away from all the stress, the hustle and bustle. I mean, that's just the way life is. I mean, it's just the way it is. So you get up there and you're already kind of relaxed. And then you just stop and really look at the brothers that went with you. You know, for me, moved here 4 years ago, lost some friendships in it. I wouldn't say lost. I mean, we're still connected, but there's been a hole in my heart ever since we've done that. And to go up here with a group of guys and form a friendship bond, I mean, it's unbelievable. Words can't describe that feeling that, you know, when you go up there with a band of brothers like that. And then you get up there, I mean, then you're just in tune with God all day, every day. You know, and one thing that stuck out with me, as one of the pastors said, is be an uncommon man. There is common men every day. The world is full of common men. But how about we become the uncommon? And what I mean by that is let God's light shine through us. Let him glorify it. I mean, it's not what we're saying. It's not me. It's what God is doing through us. You know, so, and to be witnessed up there, I mean, to watch God move in men's lives that weekend, I mean, it was just unbelievable. Loved every minute of it. Loved that friendship. Like Andrew said, you know, at the night we'd go talk and just building that friendship. And getting closer to the guys, you know, of our community. You know, and a lot of times, like Mondo said, we go up there, we're on a high. I mean, because you're in tune with God every minute, every second of the day. And then we come back down here, well, guess what? Life goes on, we're getting busy. But that's where this bond of brothers is going to keep this community and do, I mean, absolutely awesome things as a bond. And that's what we're going to do. I mean, we're going to stick together. And that's what I love about it, too. When we are struggling as brothers, well, guess what? I got 12 guys that I can call anytime, and they'll have my back in a second. Won't even think about it. And that should go for every one of us that are out here. We are Christians. And I mean, when somebody's in need, we need to help. And that's the thing with and like I said, I had all that stress. And if you've never been, I will tell you, it is an awesome experience from somebody that doesn't leave home very often. I mean, and the weather was good, too. I mean, I will say that. But it really did. It did my heart a lot of good. And it was awesome to see my brothers come through a lot of stuff and glorifying God. And just, I mean, yeah, it's good. And I'll tell one little last story. So coming home, I think we took the longest route in history to come home from Red River. I don't think we could have. Anyway, we won't go there. But that car ride, I promise you, felt like an hour. And then you're like, well, isn't it longer than that? It's way longer than that. But the depth conversation that I had with a friend of mine that I will call a brother was unbelievable. We laughed, we cried, we done it all in that 7-hour trip. But it was unbelievable. God was in that pickup with us the whole way, sharing with one another. I mean, I don't know how to describe it. I'll start crying if I do. And anybody knows me, that's pretty easy to do, to get me to cry. Just ask my wife, she'll tell you. But truly blessed to be part of a community, truly blessed to get the opportunity to go. And that's where I encourage you. If you've ever had any wonder about it, it's well worth it. Every second of it. I mean, I'll be up there every year from here on out. and I can't thank these guys enough that blessed me to get to go and just everything. Thank y'all.
So we started a group text out of this deal, and somehow, a group text. Anyways, somewhere between one group text and now we got three group texts going, and there's like, because we inherited some guys that didn't go, so we're like, I don't know how many we got going on this group text. Roger? There's a lot. So, you know, and it started off with Jesus this and Jesus that, and now we're into the joke. So I'm just letting you know it's real. Anyways, it's getting real. Our next speaker, his testimony is incredible, and still God is moving in his heart, and cool stories that we're going to hear from him and in his home. Anyways, Trent. Yeah, give him a round of applause. That last one. You're good.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I've been praying and thinking and meditating and asking God, man, how am I supposed to share an encounter with God? And that's not so I'm just going to tell a little bit of a story, so to speak. Most of y'all know me, my wife Annie, my three little girls. Grew up around here. I think my parents are here somewhere. Grew up in a good home, in church. I got saved in our living room. The first time I said that prayer, we were listening to Ricky Fowle on the radio. That's been 30 plus years ago, and I think we were redoing the living room floor or something. And Mr. Fowle said, if anybody feels like they want to pray this prayer, just grab somebody. And so I went over there with my dad and prayed the prayer. And went through life and going along there, and things were good. Like, I knew God. I knew who he was. I knew that he loved me. You know, it's kind of one of those things that if you walk up nearly anybody, they'll say that, oh, yeah, God loves me. I know God's love. But through life, if you have family, friends, coworkers, bosses, trusted people in your life, anybody, anywhere, friends at school, whatever, you're going to get hurt. And for me, going through life, when you get hurt, there's something said up there that really resounded in me of what I needed to take every thought captive. But who said that? Like, when you get hurt and you start thinking about stuff and you hear a whisper in your ear, and man, you really didn't do a good enough job, or man, you didn't really act right, or whatever. And that's the devil saying that to you. It's not God. Well, through that right there, a long time ago, I've been partnering with lies that the devil told me about myself and didn't even realize it. And so I was walking through life by partnering with those lies, that makes you resentful or bitter or kind of cold-hearted. I know that at church, everybody would probably be like, man, that guy's so happy. He's nice. Look, all his girls are smiling or whatever. Well, if you would have seen us 2 hours ago, you would have seen me growling at him, being like, get your hair fixed. Put your clothes on. We're going to church. You're going to have fun, you know? And I was a pretty harsh, bitter, and mean person. That's who I was. That's not who I am. That's not who my Father created me to be. And So while we're up there, the song they were playing the song Gratitude, I believe, and there's a verse in there that talks about raising your hands and praising God or something. And I did that, and all of a sudden I was like, I've got to get on the floor, and got on the floor, and I mean, knelt down, bawling, in a room of 300 men, which was super comfortable, but I didn't care. And it was so freeing, because in that moment, during that worship service, I experienced God's love like I've never experienced before. And that it was huge, because it wasn't that many years ago I struggled with depression and suicide. I actually wrote a goodbye letter to my family, to my daughters, and to my wife, and because I had partnered with those lies. So anyway, so as I'm, before I ended up on the floor, God, I don't think I've ever heard God's audible voice, obviously, but I see, he gives me pictures or visions or whatever you want to call it. And I was standing there worshiping, and he showed me a picture of myself. And I shared this last Wednesday, but I'll share it again. And it's, I was standing there, and I was filthy. Like, I'd rolled in grease, dirt. I mean, you couldn't even see my skin. And I was nearly naked. My clothes were ripped and torn and just filth. I mean, I was filthy. And then it's like I could see God's face. After looking at myself, I could see God's face, and he was just smiling at me, you know, kind of. And it was like he said in that moment, he said, I don't care why you're so dirty, how you got dirty, what brought you to be that dirty. All I care about is where your heart is at. And your heart's for me, and I love you. You're my son. I created you with a purpose. And there's nothing better in this life that I've ever experienced. And just super thankful for that. Well, he showed me a second vision. And I think this is what I'm supposed to be sharing is, he showed me another picture of myself, and I was clean. I was all cleaned up, kind of like this morning. I took a shower and whatever, had a nice white shirt on. And I laid down in a bed of snakes, but I wasn't scared. Like, they weren't biting me or anything like that. They were just kind of like a ball of snakes just swarming around me, and I could see my face and my shirt, and I was just laying there. And it was, in life, all those things, those lies that I partnered with for so long, we attach ourselves to those. It gives us security, so to speak, and justification in being mad. Oh, they did me wrong or whatever. It's kind of like this security blanket, so to speak, that our flesh attaches to. And the other side of that that God actually showed me this morning is, when you attach to those things, how many people want to get close to a person that's covered in snakes? You're keeping, it's not just hurting you, it's hurting the people that you're around. And so I realized how uncompassionate I was, because I had never really received God's love. I'm kind of jumping around here a little bit, but the way that, for me, I believe God's love manifests itself is through compassion. And being able to be compassionate to one another, to your wives, to your husbands, to your children, to strangers. I really just think that we need to guard our hearts to not attach and not take hold of those lies that we hear from the devil. And it's seductive, honestly, because if you're upset and you're mad or whatever, and the devil speaks to you, kind of a little whisper, it's going to feed that to make you feel justified in that anger or in that frustration or in that why ever you're mad. Well, that's not God. So the asking that question, who said that, has been something really big for me. And, you know, we were talking, mentioned, you know, you're on the mountaintop and you're on a high. Anyway, you come back to real life, and the devil will, he'll try to put the boots to you, get you into a situation where, what's awesome is, even though I've lost it several times since I've been back, lost my cool, lost my temper, said some things that I would not say in front of y'all, but you know what? I'm still loved by God. I'm still a man of God. I still have a purpose, and I'm worthy of His love, just like all of you are.
We got time for a couple more, looks like. So if one of the other brothers want to share, you want to go again, Andrew? Oh, I want to go again. I don't know. If it's speaking to one of the other brothers that went up, come on up. I know, Aaron, come on. I know you want to come up. Boudreaux.
Hello, I'm Aaron Fontenot, kind of new to this county since 2018. Short and sweet. I was saved back in 2013, and for the last couple of years, it's been kind of dry. Making choices, getting off track. So, hearing about this men's retreat, I was determined to go, and you know, I was blessed. Somebody blessed me with the tuition, made it happen. No excuses. So during this trip, I experienced a rebirth in my faith walk, and I've encountered God that weekend. Now my heart is on fire for Christ again. And while up on that mountain, I declared war on the enemy. Declaration of war on my enemy, Satan, you have no more power. In the name of Jesus. I'm fighting for my wife, I'm fighting for my house, my family. So, by Sunday, for the trip home, this overwhelming peace has come over me, and God is good. Amen. Short and sweet. So.
Roger? You got a word, bud? Yeah, you do. Yeah, we got to kill some time. Come on.
I need this, but anyway, man, the last 2-3 years been pretty tough. I got laid off in February of 20 and just barely went back to work. I was working over at McLean, and Delise Atwood had been after me for about a year to do a walk from Emmaus, and it just so happened that every time that a walk of Emmaus would come around, I'd be on call. It just didn't happen. I got laid off in February, and I said, I'm thinking I can make this walk to Emmaus this next month. I ain't got nowhere to be. So I went to a walk of Emmaus, and been in church all my life, roughly. And I had that attitude of, you know, when you've been somewhere so long, sometimes you get complacent. You don't think you can learn. You don't think you can grow anymore. That is so not true. The word says if you seek him, you'll find him. And when you're in that presence, you have no choice. We go to this Men of the Mountain, and I get off at 4 o'clock that morning, and been 8 days from 6 p.m. to 4 a.m. Long nights, no sleep. It's hard to sleep in the daytime when the sun's up. And so anyway, I'm laying in the back, sleeping in the back seat. Aaron's driving. John's co-pilot. And all is good till we get to Dalhart. And we get to Dalhart, and all of a sudden we ain't moving any longer. We are like poking, and I have no clue because I'm asleep. And I wake up, and you can walk faster heel to toe than we're driving Main through Dalhart. If anybody that's ever traveled with me, when you travel, man, you go. There ain't no time for bathroom stop, man. You got a bathroom stop. It's hit the side of the road and get business done and get to moving. So an hour to get through Dalhart, man, I am like, holy cow. So we finally get through Dalhart, make it all the rest of the way. And the first night, man, I'm beat. I don't make the, I just can't, I'm unable to make the night meeting. I went to the service, but the meeting that the guys had that first night, I missed. I was whooped. And so the next day, we have our morning deal. We do what we do during the day, and then we have our evening service. And then we have our evening meeting. And Dustin Weatherly, he calls on me first, and he says, "What are you seeing? What are you finding up here?" And I says, "Man, I says, I'm whooped." And he says, "I know, I see it." You can be a warrior, and you can pour out only so long. But if you don't get filled and get fed and be strong through Jesus and in Jesus, by Jesus, you are just a vessel. you're not doing the work that you need to be doing. So Dustin tells me, he says, dude, he says, you can get up and eat breakfast in the morning, he says, until noon tomorrow. He says, you need to just stay in bed and rest. And I says, yeah, okay, I'll try. And so anyway, we leave out of there and I go to bed. And man, it's like a baby sleeping all night long. I mean, I don't know as I haven't slept like that in a while. And so Tracy calls me and I answer the phone and she says, what are you doing? I says, I'm in bed. She says, huh? And says, so where's the guys? And I says, I don't know. And she says, what do you mean you don't know? And I says, I got told to rest. And I says, that's what I'm doing. And so she knows me. I'm not that guy that sits around and just doesn't do anything. And so anyway, we get to evening worship and an evening meeting, and they talked to me again and they said, what is it? And I said, I realize what I just told you. He may have made a strong man, for sure he did, but if you don't take care of that vessel and if you don't feed it and keep it strong, it'll wither away. It'll go away. You can't do it alone. It takes Jesus in you, around you. Take brothers to tell you, hey, man, it's your turn to sit down. You've done enough. We've got your back. We can help you. It's not all on you. I would have to say most men, if not all men, have a little bit of a pride issue that will not or won't sit back and allow other folks to help. Not only won't allow, won't ask. Lay that pride down, fellas. Say, hey, I need some help. I need you. They'll come and run, and I promise. I've got a list of about 20 guys on a text. Maybe closer to 25 or 26. Maybe even more than that. But all you got to do is ask. Quit bowing up and sticking that chest out and say, man, I got this. Because without Jesus, without God, and without your brothers, you're minuscule. You're nothing. But with them, the word says, through Jesus Christ, I can do any and all things. Remember that.
Thanks, Roger. I've been calling him Roger for about, I don't know, 3 months now. So, man, it'd be kind of cool. This is kind of speaking to me. Is there any of the wives of the men that went up to the men of the mountain that would like to say a word? I'm just gonna throw that out there. We got a few minutes. Okay. Oh, I wasn't expecting this.
You wasn't expecting this?
No.
So, y'all heard a little bit of his testimony the first time he went.
to the men's retreat at the mountain. He came back. Well, he had the burning bush moment, and he came back completely changed. And that's when he gave his life to Christ. He had a miraculous healing. He had broken three ribs 7 days before at work, before he left to go on that men's retreat. And he came back completely healed, like doctors looking at x-rays going, this is not the same guy. Anyways, so I got like a whole new husband when he came back home. And he's gone between that first time and this last time, what, four, maybe five times? And he always comes back, of course, refreshed and renewed. I mean, we all need to just go and have a reset and spend time with God in the woods, in the mountain. And it just always does so good. This time he came back, of course, refreshed and renewed, and just a spark of a fire that he left with is now this roaring bonfire, and he is super pumped. I just seen him come full circle, like he just to be part of this brotherhood, that thing that happened on the mountain with you guys, because we're new here, you know, we moved here a little over a year ago, and to see him just coming in this community and you guys being a bond like that for him is really, really encouraging and really great. And so that being said, I don't know, Misty. Oh, I'm just messing with you, but come on, girl.
I had a way to call him out. Mandy had discernment, by the way. That was discernment. That was whole Jesus right there. Hey, sis.
Hey. Well, my name is Misty Copeland. Dal Copeland is my husband. I was born and raised in this community. Hilton. A mean old Hilton is what I was. But, you know, graduated school here in 95. Went off to college, and it strikes me as odd. You know, I grew up a Christian my whole life. I had to leave this community to go find a husband because I couldn't find one here that I thought would be worthy, you know, of that calling. And met Dal, who was not a Christian. And, you know, I asked God, why? Why this one? And he said, trust me. I tried to get out of it, talking to God for a couple of months. Like, why, God? Because that's always been my life's dream, of getting married to a Christian man, continuing to work in church. And God sent me Dal. But 8 years, eight long years into our marriage, he miraculously found Jesus after me praying and seeking God. He did it. And just to see him pursuing God the way he is here, and back home he did too, but to see him working in a church in my hometown that I never thought would happen, but he's here working for God. I'm working for God on the stage, playing music like I like to do. I'm not a preacher or anything, but that's my calling. And to see him doing that is just such a blessing to me. And that trip that they took, it just really refreshed him. And, you know, he's been missing his friends back home, and I have too. But once God brought us to this church, we're growing new Christian friendships. And it's just been a blessing to be here, and I want to thank you guys for what y'all have done for us.
I want to read something. I was in Nehemiah, and a real cool story. I love this whole book of Nehemiah, and from the front to the end, not so much the front because they're just building gates. It's like, it's boring, you know, just building gates, you know. But anyways, this spoke to me to read, and it's right on I would say that I feel like I'm commissioned to do, that we as a community are commissioned to do. So they're speaking to Nehemiah, and they're telling them how to build this wall and how to get ready, and at the same time build the wall, but at the same time we got to watch our back and watch each other's backs and look up, look down, and I mean they're arming the families, not just with just swords, but with bricks, because we're building at the same time. You know, we think that we're just building, and we're building relationships, and we're doing the thing and whatever God wants us to do, and we're on fire and we're doing all this stuff. But sometimes we forget that we need to have a sword in our hand at the same time, because the enemy would love so much just to tear down the wall that we're building right now as a community. This is what it says. I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall, at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords and spears and bows. After I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles and the officials and the rest of the people, "Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your families, your sons, your daughters, your wives, your homes." And then he goes on and he says, "When your enemies heard that we were aware of their plot, and that God has frustrated it, we all returned to the wall, each to our own work. From that day on, half of the men did the work, while the other half was equipped with spears, shields and bows and armor. The officers posted themselves behind all the people of Judea who were building the wall. Those who carried materials did their work with one hand and held a weapon with the other. Each of the builders wore his sword on his side as he worked. So that's telling me that we should be doing that as a community. And this is what it's all about. We were, me and Dowen and a couple of the guys were talking right before church, and it's like, man, why do we have the separation of community, of churches? Why? And Dow said, you know what's funny about it is that the ones that are saved, whatever religion you are, the ones that are saved, when we get to heaven, there's no religion. You know what I mean? It's like all this that we're doing here in our dirt suits, it's worthless. You know what I mean? So I say this, and I challenge you this. When it comes to community, let it be community. Don't let it be Cornerstone. I'm not standing here for Cornerstone. No, don't get me wrong. I honor my pastors and I honor the daughter of the house. I honor them, but I want to glorify God. That's why we do what we do. That's why we go to these men's retreats. That's why the women meet 2-3 times a week. Don't forget that we have a meeting every Thursday night with the men. Just one night a week, that's all we're doing. We can do this. We can do this as a community. Brick in one hand, sword in the other. What does that look like? That looks like Jesus to me. And it doesn't have to be in the physical. We think of that as in the physical. I mean, just read it. Read Nehemiah and see what it speaks to you. It's going to change the way you see things, the way that we should be as a community. And we hear that, and we hear that in all the communities, you know, when something tragic happens, we need to come together as a community, and it happens, and then it just fades away. Well, we don't need to do that. We need to stake the ground, rope to the ankle, sword in the hand, brick in the other. You can bring the fight, but it ends here. That's the attitude that we need. But at the same time, we need to glorify Jesus while we're doing this.
Wow. To hear how God has worked in those men was so powerful. And I hope that you were strengthened by that. You know, you may have identified with some of those stories. You know, I think about the men they have a different mentality of women, and the men, you know, they don't want to be vulnerable and show any type of weakness because the man, you know, is supposed to be strong and fix things. And that's what I really appreciate about these testimonies, is they were open and they were vulnerable and they allowed God to come into their situation and to work. And what a strength that can be to you, and encouragement that can be to you. I pray that that is also, you know, you may be thinking that you want to experience the same thing with God. You don't have to go to Men on the Mountain to do that. All you do, the word says that seek me and you will find me, knock and the door will be open unto you. Go to him, seek after God, pray to him. You know, that's the thing about it. I think we oftentimes make it so difficult that we have to do this special thing to encounter God or to experience God. And I, in my relationship with the Lord, I realized that when I seek him and I go to him and I read his word and I meditate on him and his word, I begin to be more mindful of him and I see him more in the everyday around me, and it's a tuning of my ears to hear him. And so that's what I want to encourage you, that, you know, after hearing these testimonies, and not only that, after I listened to the testimonies, these men, the wives that got up to talk about it, and they were affected by that as well. And that's how it is with men. It will, well, even women, it will go into their family, and then it goes into their children, and then the children take it with them. And it's so important that we have a relationship with God and we have that strength with him. And so anyway, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you that you would have an encounter with God, that maybe right now you haven't been feeling like God's near to you, but God is near. You feel like that maybe God's not hearing your prayer, or maybe you're walking through something that seems like you're just so distanced from God, or you're lonely. But I just want you to know that God is with you. He is always with you. And that's one thing I have learned through the years, that even when I don't see him, even when I don't feel him, even when I don't experience him, God is with me. And so I just want to pray for you tonight. Father, I thank you for the listeners that are listening tonight, Lord, that have heard this testimony. Father, I pray that you would move in them and draw them in, Lord, that you, as they seek you, that you speak to them in a way that they would hear you, Lord. Father, that you would cause them to be strong in you and in the power of your might, Lord, that you cause them to have eyes to see and ears to hear. And Father, as they seek you, Lord, your word says that as they knock, the door will be opened unto you. As they seek, they will find you. And so, Father, I thank you for that, that you would cause a stirring up within our spirits, Lord, that we would hear your voice. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you lead us along the path that we should follow, and the voice of a stranger we will not listen to. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I just want to thank you for tuning in tonight. I hope that you were strengthened by hearing these testimonies. And also, just want to remind you again that we do have our website, sundaynightlive.org. We have all of our past episodes, and we've also been airing Mark Meek's shows every once in a while. So if you haven't had an opportunity to catch some of those, we do it about once a month or once every 2 months or so often, just to keep that alive. And so we just want to say have a good night and a blessed week. We'll see you next week.